Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that it's alive, it's active. And we just pray, Holy Spirit, would you speak to us today? Lord, we need you. We need you more than we did yesterday. We need you more again as we go into the days ahead. Lord, we need you. We need you in every area of our lives. So I just pray that we would just receive from you by your Spirit, that we would feast on your word now. Give us ears to hear, Lord, what your Spirit is saying. Come, Holy Spirit, guide us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I've been thinking about Pete this week, Pete Mitchell. Many of you watching will know Pete and remember Pete. And I wondered what he would have made of all this that is going on at the moment. And my mind turned to his Thanksgiving service when we came together, many, many, many of us, recalling and celebrating his life and his faith and the difference that he made to our lives. But over the course of that day, when I was thinking about Pete, the passage that I read and spoke about at his service, that Thanksgiving service that day, kept popping up in front of me. It was one of those several times different people mentioned it, or it came up in different things I was looking at. So I just thought I would look at it this Resurrection Sunday morning together with you all. It's not a usual Easter reading, but I have to say these are not usual times that we are living in. But it does, I believe, introduce beautifully what I think the Lord wants to give us this Resurrection Sunday, and that is hope. Not a sort of an awareness cerebrally in our head of hope, though it's important that we have some understanding about what this hope is and where it's from. But I want to pray that this hope would rise up from within us this morning. And then I pray that as it rises up from within us, it would flow through us to the world around us, those people that are before us, into our homes, those, you know, limited connections that we have these days. But, you know, that it would just flow through us. That's what I pray this morning, that would be an experience, an awareness of the hope that is ours through the work for who God is and what he has done for us in Christ. So I'm praying this morning that hope would rise up from within and it would flow out of us. And I'm going to use a passage that... Now, let me go back. I want to say something before I go on to the passage itself. You know, I want this hope to rise up, to bubble up from within us. Then I want it to flow through us into the world that is fearful and, in many ways, a world that is living in the valley of the shadow of death. I want to talk about yesterday. That's what I want to talk about before I come to the reading. Sorry, I lost my place for a moment. I have to say, yesterday was a hard and a difficult day. I think this year, more than ever, we felt that journey from Good Friday to Easter Sunday. We felt that Easter Saturday kind of darkness, did we not? I think of that moment, how I felt on hearing the news that our friend Ron had died on Easter Saturday. That day when the disciples were living in the shadow of Good Friday without the experience and the revelation of the reality of Easter Sunday. You know, those of you who have been following the Easter readings using the Simply Lent book, you would have read this, and Ange posted it online yesterday morning. And this is what it said in that reading. It said, our part is to keep Holy Saturday in faith and hope, grieving over the ruin of the world that sent Jesus to his death, trusting in the promise of God that new life will come in his way and in his time. And then he goes on to invite us to pray. He says, help us, gracious Lord, to wait for your victory in the meantime, to serve you in whatever way we can. And these were powerful words. You know, we're sad, but we don't despair. We grieve, but in that grief, we remember that because Jesus rose conquering the power of sin and death. Death does not have the final word. Someone just put it on the live feed. Oh, death, where is your sting? Death does not have the final word for those who have trusted in him. Death does not have the final word for our friend Ron. You know, I'm so grateful to Rob Phelps. He's painted this wonderful picture that we've sent out to you all this week. And it's sort of an interpretation, if you like, of this picture that Linda had of this wave and us standing in prayer against this wave coming, crashing into our world. And we sent it out during the week. And there's just one aspect of it that I'd like us to think about. Thanks, Mark. Put it on the screen for us. I want you to look at the sunshine. I want to make that the focus of this picture as I speak today. I want to point that out to you because the sun is shining just in and over and beyond and through this wave. Friends, this Resurrection Sunday morning, as we continue, and you know, today and as we continue through the rest of the day and in the days ahead, let's keep that image in mind. The light has shone in the darkness. The light shines in the darkness, it says in John 1, and the darkness could never, can never, will never extinguish it. I love what the Queen said this morning. Did anybody watch what she said? I posted it on the WhatsApp group. I thought it was amazing. She said this, but Easter isn't cancelled. Indeed, we need Easter as much as ever. The discovery of the risen Christ on the first Easter day gave his followers new hope and a fresh purpose. And we can all take heart from this. And then she says this, we know that the coronavirus will not overcome us. And then she said this, as dark as death can be, particularly for those suffering with grief, light and life are greater. May the living flame of the Easter hope be a steady guide as we face the future. The light shines in the darkness. Let's not forget that in these dark and these difficult days. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness could never, can never, will never extinguish it. Now, that's a very good introduction to my reading today. So I want to read, again, I'll say it's not a usual Easter reading. I'm going to read from Lamentations. But when you hear what we read, you'll see why we're reading it today. It says this, Lamentations 3, 21 to 24. It's going to be on the screen for you. This is what it says. Yet I still dare to hope when I remember this. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh every morning. I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance. I will hope in him. I confess that Lamentations is not one of my go-to books generally, and certainly not on Resurrection Sunday. Today is not a day for lament, it's a day for celebration. You know, the first kind of recipients of this book, that you know, way back in the Old Testament, were facing really difficult times. I'd say not unlike what we are facing. They would have been wrestling with all sorts of questions about why this was happening, what was this all about? But in the midst of their lament, over all that was going on, we have this passage. You know, the main drive of this passage is God's call to his people in the midst of struggles to hold on to hope. At the same time, he gives them the basis for that hope. He says, this is why you can have hope, because I am who I am. This is the God who says you can have hope. He gives them the basis for that hope. Why then can be hope-filled instead of despair-driven? You know, even when things aren't going as planned, even when things are difficult, they can have hope. Our reading starts with this verse 21. It says, yet this I call to mind, therefore I have hope. You know, hope is part of the Bible story. Beginning to end, there's this theme of hope running right the way through it. And it's so important for us to take hold of this with all that is going on in our world today. And you know why? Because the extent to which we have hope or don't have hope will shape how we face the days before us. They will shape how we face the days ahead of us. We need hope as we go forward from this time. Without hope, things look bleak. But with hope, everything changes. Everything changes. Let's just keep remembering Rob's picture. The sun is shining beyond, over and through the wave. Let's not forget that. The light is shining. You can't miss it in that picture. Hope, friends, is rising. Hope is rising. It's so important. That's what I want us to grasp today, that hope is rising. And it's rooted in who God is, what he has done, and what he is doing. I believe it's ours to take hold of this Resurrection Sunday. Three brief things from this passage about who God is and how this is outworked in the resurrection of Jesus. This God that who gives us hope is a God of love. The word for love in the original language of the Bible is the word hased, and it's an amazing word. It's a rich word. It's a word that's usually reserved for the love between family members or close friends. It speaks of a prior knowledge or relationship. But this is the amazing thing, that when that prior knowledge or that relationship doesn't exist, the person expressing the hased chooses to act like it does. It's been described as one of the most important words in the Old Testament. Now, I think the cross and the resurrection are surely the most powerful expressions of God's loving kindness towards humanity, are they not? Remember what I said about the word hased. Even when there's no prior relationship, there's distance and there's separation, the one expressing that love chooses to act like there is. This is what it says in Ephesians 2, verse 4. I think this sort of summarizes it beautifully. But because of his great love, his hased for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved. So that's the first thing about God's character, his love, and we see it so clearly in the resurrection. The second from this passage is his compassion. We've read in Lamentations that they never fail, they're new every morning. This is about the tender mercy of God, which is ours to know every single day. Humanity didn't deserve the cross and the resurrection, but we got it. He gave it to us. God spared us what we deserve, living with the impact of our ongoing indifference or disobedience, even rebellion against him. He didn't just walk away. He gave this world a lifeline, a rescue plan in his son, Jesus Christ, in his death and in his resurrection. This is what it says in Colossians. Listen to this. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness. He brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Read on in that fabulous chapter in Colossians. Towards the end, it says, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. The risen Lord Jesus Christ is holding this hope out to us today, and it's for ours to take hold of, even in the midst of all that is going on in the world today, even in the midst of what you are facing today, whether it's extreme busyness and finding life incredibly pressured and stressful, or even in the days when they just kind of roll into one and you're feeling that kind of isolation and loneliness, there's hope for you today. The final aspect of God's character that we read about in this passage from Lamentations, and we see so beautifully and so perfectly in the resurrection, is his faithfulness. This word in the original language, the Hebrew language, means firm and trustworthy and true and steady and sure. God was true to his word. We sung it earlier, didn't we? He is a promise keeper. And we believe that today. He is a promise keeper. I love the way that the rainbow is becoming a powerful symbol of hope again in these days. If you can't see it, but looking out my window, our neighbours have chalked a massive rainbow onto the pavement just outside their house. You know, in Genesis, the rainbow was a sign of God's faithfulness, his covenant with the earth. Isn't the resurrection just an amazingly powerful and poignant and history altering expression of that covenant? One of my favorite poems puts it this way. I want to be a world changer because on a morning many winters ago, The tomb was open and the curse was broken. Death had to let go and recreation burst out of an old wineskin, like water from a geyser, like the cry of a child pushed into the world, and nothing would shut him up. God would not leave this world to go to hell in a handcart. This just doesn't fit with what he says about himself, about who he is. So in the resurrection, he holds out hope of recreation, a new heaven and a new earth. Yeah, we see it in part now and we long to see it more. But one day we will see it and know it fully. The resurrection is a beautiful and powerful display of this description of the nature of God that Jeremiah described all those years ago in Lamentations. It's where we see, maybe clearer than anywhere else in the Bible, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit working so wonderfully together. So we can say with confidence today, as Jeremiah did all those years ago in Lamentations, yet I still dare to hope when I remember this. Yet I still dare to hope when I remember this. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercy never ceases. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. And then it says this, I say to myself, will you say to yourself today, whatever you're feeling, whatever you're facing, will you say this to yourself today? The Lord is my portion. Here's what I need. And then say this, therefore I will hope in him. Let's pause and pray and invite the Holy Spirit to come and just bring that hope to our bodies today. Bring that hope to our minds and our spirit today. So let us pray. Let us pray. Let's just pause. Let's sit quietly for a moment, just where you are. Just pause. Just invite the Holy Spirit to come and bring hope to you today. Resurrection hope. Let him bring the fullness of what we're celebrating today, the impact of what we're celebrating, to your minds, to your bodies, to your spirit, to all of who you are. Come, Holy Spirit, let hope bubble up, rise up within us today because of who you are. And because of what you have done for us in Christ. We thank you for your resurrection today. We thank you that you overcame death, sin, accusation, sickness, separation, hatred and anger. You overcame it in the grave. We today just want to come into your life, come into line with resurrection realities in our lives. And we pray that the same spirit that rose Jesus from the dead would be at work within us and be at work within our community and our nation today. Holy Spirit, come, we need you. We raise our hands to you. We say, come and give us hope today. Touch us, Lord, deep, deep down. We just want to drink on you today. Receive from you today, in Jesus' name.